The reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning at verse 16. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me. For I do this of my own will. I have a reward. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I'm free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though myself I am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As we stand together, let's pray. Father, we pray that I will speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that our hearts and our minds will be open to hear your word. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please sit down. Today we're at the end of a sequence of celebrations of the events that mark the early life of Jesus. They include, obviously, Jesus' birth, his circumcision 5 days after birth, the purification of Mary, the visit of the Magi, and 40 days after his birth, his presentation at the temple. Jesus' presentation at the temple, we actually celebrate on the 2nd of February, that's next Friday. And to mark that, there will be, as I've already mentioned, a supper here in church the day after on the Saturday. It'll be great. Do get tickets from Judith if you would like to come. It's all a bit busy, isn't it? Presentation of Jesus at the temple, we remember today, is about parents, Mary and Joseph, doing what was right and caring for a new baby within the traditions of their family and of the society and religion in which they lived. And the rituals that Mary and Joseph followed for Jesus are ancient Jewish rituals, not part of our culture or practice. But nevertheless, their motivation and their intentions were very good. And they should be of great interest because they can provide guidance for us now. So I want to look for some themes in this passage. Sorry, very well read by Anne. Thank you for doing that. In that passage that we heard. Because if, in my view, if we don't find ideas that are relevant to us today, we might as well not bother to look at the readings in the first place. So it's clear that Mary and Joseph are good parents. They were very pious, diligent Jews. Luke tells us that they strictly followed the set religious patterns of their day because they knew God. Just think about their experiences before Jesus was born. And they wanted to do what was right before God for themselves and for their new baby. We're told in the Gospels that they regularly went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, and that was a really considerable investment of... Sorry, I've got the sun in my eyes there, which is lovely, but not very easy. Where have I got to? Oh, they regularly went to Jerusalem for Passover. Considerable investment in both time and money. And it's inevitable, isn't it, that Jesus saw what his parents did and he learned from his parents' example. And that's not a bad lesson for us all to try and follow through our lives. So lesson number one, to those of us who are parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, which I think covers most of us apart from the children, what we do, how we spend our time and our money, what our priorities are, matter. And our children or grandchildren notice, and they will copy what we do. So setting a good example is very important, and particularly in a society like ours, which is basically unsympathetic to religious belief and celebration. We're told in that sequence of events, Jesus was circumcised 5 days after his birth, and Mary followed the practice for a new mother. Her so-called purification lasted 40 days. I have no idea what proportion of newborn boys are circumcised today, but I suspect, I have no information on this, that it's not very many. Nor is it now common practice for new mothers to feel themselves to be unclean. postnatal depression is a very real problem. So maybe that 40 days after the birth gave mothers a quieter time, recognizing that they both deserve and need support and help. And in terms of comparing today with before, we don't take our children to a cathedral or to a temple and present them. Mary and Joseph, interestingly, Joseph is called Jesus' father in this passage, didn't have to go to Jerusalem to present him. But they did, and that enabled this encounter with Simeon and Anna, without which this passage in Scripture, I'm sure, would not have been mentioned at all. Also interesting to note that Luke has actually pushed two rituals together in his account. Purification was for the mother. Offering of the firstborn son was the father's job. And it was an ancient practice of dedicating the first child to God and making a ritual sacrifice for the child, because the presentation in the temple was actually to give the child to God and leave him there. And so by making this ritual offering, a poor one for them, two pigeons, was sort of payment for the child, and they got the child back and could take the child home and not remain in the temple. Like, for example, if you remember the story of Samuel in the Old Testament, who did stay in the temple. So presentation is a symbol of acceptance of a child, both by God and acceptance into society, with all the material and spiritual implications that follow that. Do we have an equivalent today? Well, yes, I think we do. Various people have various theological objections to it, but infant baptism is a formal way of giving thanks for the safe birth of a child and welcoming that child into the Christian family and the Christian faith, and to recognize God's hand in that child's life, in their future. And that service should remind us that parents and congregation, the whole church, together commit themselves to help and be an active part of nurturing of the child who is baptized. Whether we're effective in doing that is quite another matter. So Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus encounter Simeon. Simeon was an old, very devout man. He lived in the temple and was fed and clothed by the offerings from pilgrims. And Simeon, I think, should encourage us to realize that there's scope and need in the church for the work of both young and old. We rightly, I think, prioritize young people. This episode is focused on the baby Jesus, but actually, the main players are Simeon and Anna, elderly folk. And their contribution should encourage us. It was driven by their devotion to God and their continuous expectation that God was going to do something really special and they would have the privilege of seeing it. I'm sure Simeon's colleagues said, "Poor old guy, he believes that God has a plan. And his people will have a destiny within that plan. He actually expects to see the Messiah who will change things forever." Okay. But Simeon was guided to the place where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus came into the temple, the outer court, where the women could go. And he met them, and he recognized the child, and he was overcome with joy. He took the baby in his arms and quite spontaneously created this wonderful hymn of thanksgiving and dedication that we now know as the Nunc Dimittis, a good Latin title for a Hebrew hymn. And then we're told about Anna, old, devout, frugal lady, a prophetess, we're told, which means that she was actually listened to, despite the fact that she was a woman. And she was dedicated to worshipping God in the temple. And she met Jesus and, like Simeon, was overwhelmed by the experience. And then, it's not all sweetness and light. Both Simeon and Anna warned Mary that Jesus' life would not be an easy ride. There would be pain and suffering for them all. What can we learn from this encounter? Well, none of us live in or, I think, relate to a temple. None of us, I think, expect to physically see Jesus in this life anyway. Few of us are given the privilege of having such a direct vision of the future by God's Spirit as Simeon and Anna did. But I think we should be encouraged to hope that whatever our age, whatever our situation, whatever our gender, because it's insignificant that Anna is mentioned, she was a woman after all, whatever our spirituality or our inclination for knowing God and worshipping Him, there is a role for us, an important role. And that's why I asked Paul Hirons to read a different passage from that which was said. Because in that passage, the Apostle Paul says to us that we should be flexible and considerate of the needs of others so that our response to those who have an inkling of faith is both generous and welcoming. The story we heard about Jesus' presentation in the temple is of his parents conforming to the beliefs and practices that this was the way that they could care for their new child. But if we see that in the context of who Jesus was that we know looking back, the way that Jesus opened our way to know and follow God through him, the freedom that he gives of from strict behavior codes, of formal sterile worship that he gives, that should give us the confidence to recognize our own inclinations and preferences, but also to accept and welcome the inclination and preferences of others as being different but genuine ways to reach God. That's why I think that important passage in that epistle reading, when Paul said, "To the Jews, I behave as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those outside the Jewish law, I behave as if I were outside, to win those who are outside. To the weak, I am weak, to win them. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, to have a share in its blessings." So these readings, I think, invite us to be accepting of all, to be tolerant of the differences, so that we welcome into the body of Christians here in Buckingham everyone, and relish them and nurture them among us. Mary and Joseph did what they thought was right for Jesus, and they were right. But we live in a different world that knows different things, believes different things, and follows different rituals. But we are all called to follow the same Master and Lord in ways that work for us, but are, I hope, tolerant of others. This festival that we celebrate is called Candlemas, from that phrase in Simeon's words that predict that Jesus will be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's you and me and all the others attracted to the light that is Jesus. It's right that we celebrate and do what we can to conform to God's will, so that as we become hopefully more acceptable to God by and do that by, among other things, coming together and worshipping, giving thanks and praise to our Creator and our Master, as we are doing now. Amen.